Hi, it's Patrick Hutzel from IntensiveCareHotline.com, where we instantly improve the lives for families of critically ill patients in intensive care so that you can make informed decisions, have peace of mind, real power, real control, and so that you can influence decision making fast, even if you're not a doctor or a nurse in intensive care. This is another episode of Your Questions Answered. And in last week's episode, I answered another question from one of our readers. And the question last week was, what's the difference between an induced coma and sedation? You can check out the answer to last week's question by clicking on the link below this video. In this week's episode of Your Questions Answered, I want to answer another question that from our readers. And the question this week is, my 54-year-old husband went into cardiac arrest and he sustained an anoxic brain injury. At first he wasn't waking up, but now he's improving. What is next? This email from Tammy is an excerpt of email counseling and consulting sessions with me. So, Tammy writes, hi Patrick. My 54-year-old husband went into cardiac arrest on October the 16th and he has sustained an anoxic brain injury. The amount of time without oxygen is unknown. The MRI showed brain damage on both sides. I have fought hard with the acute care hospital here in Las Vegas, Nevada, to continue treating him and give him the best chance of recovery. I was really shocked and in horror to find that the ICU team was so negative and that they pretty much said from the start, if your husband does survive, he won't have any quality of life. My husband started responding once they started lowering the sedation. But they failed to report it as the hospital he was transferred from reported he wouldn't survive or come out of a vegetative state. My husband started responding to me 3 weeks after he had the cardiac arrest and after he went down at home. I finally got our patient advocate from the insurance company involved, as I have sent progress videos to them when he started responding. He's been off the ventilator for a few days and the intensive care team is telling me that he won't have the tracheostomy out because he can't swallow. He also needs frequent suctioning during the day via the tracheostomy for his sputum and saliva. He moves all extremities, he follows commands, responds, says sentences, comprehends. His personality hasn't changed as far as I can tell. After more than 4 weeks now in ICU, they haven't gotten him out of bed yet, and they're telling me that he's too weak still. I really want them to start trying because I think it'll be good for him to start getting out of bed rather sooner than later. But getting him moved out of intensive care into a good facility is also on my mind, and it proves to be a challenge, yet alone getting him physical therapy. Do you have any suggestions? What do you think I should be doing next? Much appreciated from Tammy. So here's my response. Hi Tammy, thank you for sending your question through and thanks for using my one-on-one email counseling and consulting services. I'm really sorry to hear what you are currently experiencing with your husband after cardiac arrest and the anoxic brain injury. From what I can tell so far, just by reading your emails, you are your husband's best advocate and you have done instinctively what most families of critically ill patients in intensive care are not prepared or are scared to do. Most families in intensive care are too scared and afraid to stand up for what they believe in, and they are too scared and intimidated by the perceived power and the perceived authority of the intensive care team. You have stood up for him even though the hospital in Las Vegas reported that he wouldn't survive or come out of a vegetative state. Good for you to be standing your ground and support your husband, irrespective of what the experts have told you. You should be giving yourself a tap on your shoulder just by doing that. Over the nearly 2 decades that I have worked in intensive care, I have seen many similar situations that your husband is currently in. Without your advocacy, the intensive care team would have probably tried to quote-unquote sell you on a withdrawal of treatment, a limitation of treatment, a DNR, do not resuscitate order, or an NFR, not for resuscitation order, or an all the above early on, and they may have tried anyway. Next, as I mentioned before, I have lots of experience with situations where critically ill patients don't wake up after head or brain injuries or after hypoxic brain injury. I have also consulted many families of critically ill patients in intensive care via Skype or over the phone in similar situations. My experience has clearly shown me that time and patience is the ultimate healer when it comes to head and brain injuries, including hypoxic brain injuries and anoxic brain injuries. It's a good sign that your husband is talking and is waking up. That's a very different from the doom and gloom and the negativity that you have experienced early on from the intensive care team when your husband was first diagnosed with the anoxic brain injury after the cardiac arrest. It's great to see that your husband went from he wouldn't survive or come out of the vegetative state to if your husband does survive, he won't have any quality of life. And now he's talking, responding, moving all limbs, following commands, and he's comprehending. Imagine you wouldn't have standing your ground and fought for his best care and treatment. Well done for being so strong and for not giving in and fighting for what you knew was the right thing to do. It's good that your husband is now off the ventilator, and it's good to see that he can manage on the tracheostomy even though he can't swallow yet. In order to manage the tracheostomy, your husband should be referred onto speech therapy and a speech pathologist. They can try and improve his speech as well as his swallowing, increasing chances to get his tracheostomy removed. You've mentioned that it's challenging getting your husband on to rehabilitation. Why do you think it's challenging? Is it people's attitude? Is it difficult to find a suitable place? Is it a funding issue? If you could please elaborate on this, then I should be able to help you and point you in the right direction. You should be looking at neuro rehab because clearly your husband's recovery is brain related. You may have to get back to your health insurance and find out what they recommend and also what they will fund. I've also written an article and done a video about what's the prognosis after my critically ill loved one's brain has not had sufficient oxygen supply, also known as hypoxic brain injury. So check out this article and video below this video in the written version of this blog. There's a link to it. I've also had a client a couple of years back who inquired about her dad being in a similar situation. You can check out Laura, the client's question, again below this video. There's a link to Laura's question. I've also written an ebook that comes with 2 videos and 2 audio recordings, and it's tailor-made for your situation. It'll answer most and probably all of your questions in your situation. Again, the name of the ebook and the videos is The 10 Things You Didn't Know About Severe Head or Brain Injuries, including Stroke and Anoxic Brain Injury in Intensive Care That You Must Know. So there's a link to the ebook below this video in the written version. But also, Tammy, as a first step, the ICU where your husband is currently at needs to start mobilizing your husband, and he needs to start getting out of bed rather sooner than later. This would also tie right in with your requests for physical therapy or physiotherapy. This would be priority as far as I can see. It would be very important to have your husband stress tested, so to speak, by gradually moving him into a chair and getting him to sit up. It would strengthen him and it would help stimulate his brain as well, if he was to get out of bed regularly. Just start asking for it. You have achieved so much, and by you pushing for things, you have most likely saved your husband's life, and therefore you should be very proud of you. Rehabilitation as a next step would be great, and in order to get him to rehab, he needs to have been started on some physical therapy regime while still being in ICU. He can't go from 0 to 100. Another option that you may want to consider are things like home care services, especially if the tracheostomy can't be removed. Services like intensive care at home can provide tracheostomy care at home, and they can help you with physical therapy and physiotherapy as well. Therefore, your next steps are get your husband out of bed and get the ICU to start physiotherapy. Next, find out from your health insurance what rehabilitation they would fund and also recommend. Next, check out services like intensive care at home for tracheostomy care at home. Let me know how you go with this and get back to me if I can be of any further help. I'm wishing you and your family all the best. So, how can you become the best advocate for your critically ill loved one? Make informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence quickly whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care. You get to that all-important feeling of making informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence when you download your free instant impact report now by entering your email below. In your free instant impact report, you learn quickly how to make informed decisions, get peace of mind, real power and real control, and how you can influence decision making fast whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care. Your free instant impact report gives you in-depth insight that you must know whilst your loved one is critically ill or is even dying in intensive care. Sign up and download your free instant impact report now by entering your email below. In your free instant impact report, you learn how to speak the secret intensive care language so that the doctors and the nurses know straight away that you are an insider and that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care. In your free report, you will also discover how to ask the doctors and the nurses the right questions, discover the many competing interests in intensive care, and how your critically ill loved one's treatment may depend on those competing interests. How to eliminate fear, frustration, stress, struggle, and vulnerability even if your loved one is dying. You get 5 mind-blowing tips and strategies helping you to get on the right path to making informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence in your situation. You'll get real-world examples that you can easily adapt to your and your critically ill loved one's situation. How to stop being intimidated by the intensive care team and how you will be seen as equals. You'll get crucial behind-the-scenes insight so that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care, and how you need to manage doctors and nurses in intensive care. And it's not what you think. Thank you for tuning into this week's Your Questions Answered episode, and I'll see you again next week in another update. Make sure you also check out our blog section for more tips and strategies, or simply send me an email to support@intensivecarehotline.com with your questions. Or you can call me, find international phone numbers on our contacts tab. Also check out our ebook section where you get more ebooks, videos and audio recordings, and where you can also get one-on-one counseling and consulting with me via Skype, over the phone or via email by clicking on the products tab. This is Patrick Hutzel from intensivecarehotline.com, and I'll see you again next week in another update.